Well, some people get it and some people just never do. Sad, isn't it? You know, I spent the night, every time I woke up, that's all I thought about. And, you know, it was about Kenny and this deal. And I know y'all the same way. It's just something, it's just real close to home here. And it just, it ought to remind us of some things. How fragile life is. Is from 1 minute to the next. It's just a matter, you're just a matter of seconds from
eternity.
Yes, split seconds.
True.
Kimberly said they were driving and said they were just talking. Said usually mom was asleep, but she said she was awake and they were talking. And she said the last thing that he said to her was, "Well, mom, you know I love you." And she said it just happened like that. So that's how life is, see? I told Terry here, I said, you know, if everybody, you know, how foolish is it to not live in the realization of that absolute truth?
Yes.
How fragile life is. Why do people fight and fuss and rail on each other and stay mad at each other and... When you're just that close.
Yeah. I can't.
You know, what if you were fussing and railing on each other and then something like that happened? Mm-hmm. You're going to spend the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But see what a blessing it is. You know, to know that was the last thing you said. Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment. In the day of death, but than the day of one's birth. I mention that verse pretty often. I've preached on it a few times. Now in verse 8 of chapter 7, it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." So the end's better than the beginning, and death's better than birth. Wow. We just... Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." How many people do you really think, really, really believe that? Not many. Honestly, there's not many that do believe that. Most people cling to life so fiercely. I mean, this earthly life. And it's proof that they don't really believe that is true. To die is gain. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't believe that and you don't change your mind before you come to the place where Brother Kenny's at right now, mm-hmm. you're going to be in a pickle.
Yes,
when you get there. You're going to be angry, bitter.
Yes.
You're going to have no comfort at all.
Yeah.
You're selfish. This is going to eat you up.
That's right.
When it comes to that place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, "We are confident," Paul said. "We are confident, I say, and willing. Confident and willing. Rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Yeah. He said in another place, he said, "For it is... to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better."
Yep.
I have a desire. Earnestly desiring. He said that twice, I think. Earnest desire and earnestly desiring. What? To live longer? No, to depart from here to be with the Lord, which is far better. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Well, they're certainly not, because all these verses that I've just read conflict with the way we really feel.
Yeah, that's right.
Isaiah 55, verse 9, next verse, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We live our whole life. If we're a Christian, we live our whole Christian life saying that we're going to heaven when we die and we're looking forward to it. We sing songs about heaven and going there. And we talk about people who've went there. And we talk about how wonderful it's going to be. But we sure don't want to go. We ain't in no hurry to get there. There's a lot of things about our perception of things that are upside down from God's view. Just like the scriptures I just read. We like the beginning, but we don't like the end. We don't like it when it's all over. These kids are on vacation, see? The beginning is the excitement. The end is not. That's how you know if it's earthly or heavenly. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. It's how you know if your treasures are in earth or if they're in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's how you know. Beginnings make us happy and endings make us sad. What should we be thinking about, you know, like Miss Catherine? What should we be thinking about right now? Mm-hmm. About her. Now, her. Now, leave Brother Kenny out of it for the time being here. Yeah. Should we be feeling sad for her? Why not? They were here 4 or 5 weeks ago, and she just barely move. I mean, there at the house, I'd watch her. She'd get up out of the chair and just barely creep across the living room. You know, lots of health problems and all of this. Well, that's over for her now. I mean, do you ever think about somebody you know when they pass away and you have confidence that they went to be with the Lord? Do you ever just kind of sit and meditate on where they are?
Yes.
What they're hearing, what they're seeing?
Yes.
How can you do that without being filled with joy?
Well, that's right.
Yep. No, you can't. You would have to agree that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Now, we're sad when we ought to be happy. And we're happy when we ought to be sad.
Right.
Man, that's how it is. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's got it right. We got it wrong. We rejoice when we ought to mourn. And we mourn when we should rejoice. We rejoice and weep for joy when a child is born into this world of sin. And sorrow and pain. And sickness and hatred and war and perversion. You know, the little ones, they are a joy to us. Can't be any other way. God made it that way. But what do we feel when we ponder what's ahead of them? We look at the world around us. If the world was in a high point now, and society was moral, and things were good, and it was good times, even then, if we looked ahead in their life, we're going to know they're going to suffer pain and loss and trouble. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's true. When we look at them, I do. I look at them and, of course, you know, you love them and you're full of joy about them. But then you think about what they're going to face. They're so happy and carefree when they're little and growing up. And then, but we always rejoice on that end. And then we grieve on the other end. And the Bible says that's backwards. Well, then we weep for sorrow and are heartbroken when a dear saint of God who has fought the good fight and made it through this life of sorrow and graduates in victory to the very presence of God and escapes all of this, we weep for sorrow. We're heartbroken about them. We shout for joy when a baby's born into trouble. And we shout for joy when a saint graduates to glory. I mean, did I say shout for joy?
Yes,
no,
did.
We don't. We cry and weep.
We should.
When we ought to shout for joy. I've seen a few people do that. Who got it right. Who look at things right. We live too much in the past and very little in the future. We're not looking to the future like we ought to be as Christians. The Old Testament saints, that was their hope. They lived for that hope of eternity. Our blessed hope is the return of Christ, but also our hope is God in eternity. You know, and I talk to people, and you know, there's been a lot of loss in the last year. You know, I got a friend who lost his wife. Got other people who've lost their wives. I've known two or three this year. Some of them, you know, I think Brother Kenny will be all right.
Yeah.
So I've known him long enough to know how he deals with trouble. And I know how he's always trusted God. I remember we went down there a long time ago, but I remember going down there and he had one of them old Ford vans. It was a 6-cylinder with a 3-speed on the column. And that's what he hauled everybody around in. And you know, they didn't have nothing. And never a worry in the world. Now I know others who are not faring so well in troubles when they come along. You know, I believe if you've got hope, real hope in your life all the way through, when you come to situations like this, I think you'll have that same hope. I really do. You better have the real thing during life. I know men who preach the gospel all their life, and then they come to this kind of a place and they start stumbling. Where's the hope? I want to know.
Yes.
Why have you preached that God is sufficient all these years and He's not now? Well, we live too much in the past. We look back when we ought to look forward. We look forward when we ought to look back. We cherish feelings from the past and we don't entertain any for the future. Yeah. I don't care how old you get, you ought to keep looking forward.
Yes, sir.
When you get old, if you don't have a hope of glory, then you're going to be a mess to deal with and you're going to be a sorrowful person. Mm-hmm. I don't think just because you get old, you ought to start living all in the past. I think you ought to still have the future. To look to. You ought to have a hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've known a lot of people, and I've known people who did get old, and they did have that hope. The closer they came to the end, the more excited they got about going to heaven.
Yeah.
And I've known others who didn't at all. Just kept living in the past. That's all they had. I know people right now, that's all they have. They have no hope for the future because they don't have any future. They don't have God. They never trusted God. They never believed in God. They've always fought against God and resisted Him. And so now, all they have is the past. They just keep going and replaying it over and over like a movie. They just play over and over and over again. It's all of God. The end of the thing's kind of like a shock to our soul. And it forces us to consider and evaluate everything again. We seldom do such a thing at the beginning of a thing. We don't examine and consider everything at the beginning like we do at the end. In the beginning, we fail to consider that there'll be an end. You don't even do that with the babies. You think somehow you just blind yourself to the idea that now they're born. You gave them birth, they were given to you, they're alive, but they're going to die.
Sir, yes.
A lot of these, I've known several old folks that outlived all their children.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yes, sir.
Be a hard thing to do. But we're so caught up in the excitement of something new that it seems morbid to think about that it has an end. But we're neglecting to be wise if we don't consider the end in the very beginning. When you girls, why all you, one day you get married, you know, what you're going to say in those vows. There's a little thing in there about till death do us part. But nobody really, they'll say that, but they're not thinking about dying when they say that. Not at all. Well, I got to say this, get married till death do us part. Death's not real to you. You're young. The life is before you. There's so much of it, and that death ain't in sight.
Sounds romantic.
Yes. But if you make it 40 or 50 years down the road, then you're going to be thinking about death. See, at the beginning, if you were wise enough and sober-minded enough and mature enough on that wedding day to realize that you're just going to have so many days.
Yep.
Life would be a whole lot better, but it's so hard for you to realize that. Brother Kenny and Miss Catherine was married 50-some years. I think they got married in 65, I believe. So that would make it 55, 56 years. Something like that. That's close. Well, that's a lot of days. And it finally comes to this for all of us.
Yes, sir.
You know, you need to realize that one day, one or the other of you is going to be sitting in the funeral home. And the other one's going to be in the coffin.
Yep, that's right.
I've seen people fall all to pieces at funerals. And I knew them when they were alive. And how they fought and cussed each other and was mad all the time and down. And then one of them died and the other one just falls all to pieces at the funeral like they... I used to think, oh, what a hypocrite. But here's the deal. Reality has hit.
Yes.
And they realize what a fool they've been. And now it's too late. And that's why they can't control their emotions. Well, everything on this earth has a limited time of existence. Nothing lasts forever. When entering into marriage, neither party looks at the end of it. They're totally caught up at the new beginning of it without any thought of the end. Nobody ever gets married thinking they're going to get divorced. Nobody ever gets married thinking they're going to die. But it happens. When our children are born, we're so thrilled that with their new life that we forget to consider that their life will end one day too. The truth applies to the wicked and the righteous. Both this truth does. For a righteous person who's grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord, the day of his death is the best day he ever had. It's the best day of his life. The day of his death.
Yeah.
Now that's what the Bible says. The day of one's death, better than the day of one's birth. It's the best day of your life for the righteous.
Yes, sir.
He's been a blessing here, and he'll be blessed throughout eternity. He's increased in wisdom and stature with God, and each day brought him higher and higher and closer to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The person who's right with God and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Every day he lives has drawn him closer to God. And so when he dies, he graduates into the very presence of God. And then what he leaves behind is people that are better off because he lived here for a while.
Yep.
See, this is some of those thoughts of God that are so much higher than our thoughts. This is some of the ways of God that are so much higher than the ways that we think about. God takes somebody home. Somebody who was ready to go. Somebody who lived for him. Somebody who grew closer to him as they lived and as they got older. And as they did that, they were a blessing to somebody here. So they're gone, and left behind are people who remember them. And the memory of the just is blessed. And it's a help and an encouragement to everybody else. There are people left living that are better off. The world is a little or a lot better off than the day he was born. We ought to ask ourselves that. I look in the mirror sometimes and say, if I died today, is anybody better off? Because
yes,
I lived.
Yes, sir.
Is the world any better off? A better place? Because I lived. Did I give anything? Did I leave anything? Did I add anything? Well, if you are right with God and you live for God, you did. You did. Well, when the wicked die, though, it's a good day for everybody else too. Because they're removed.
Yes, sir.
The wicked bring destruction and lies and trouble and pain to whoever that they touch in this world. So the day they're removed from here is certainly a better day than the day they started all this trouble that they came with. Amen. Say, that's terrible ugly. No. That's the truth. The day of the death of the wicked is better than the day he was born. Because his destruction has stopped.
Yep.
The only sadness about it is that it didn't have to be that way. And that a person lived a whole life hating God and righteousness and loved iniquity and doing evil. Well, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. When things are in the proper order. When the dying one is either an innocent child or someone who's been born of the Spirit and found a real relationship with the true God through Christ. Now, either one of those, when they die, it's not like the wicked dying. An innocent child or somebody that's really saved. On the day of their birth, there's a lot of things that he's going to suffer and experience while he lives on this earth. Pain. Esther FaceTimed us a little bit last night, and while she was doing it, Ada came across in front of the camera and crashed on the other side. With pain. Crying. Esther was going, making faces because, you know, she hurt herself. We watch it all the time. We got to keep Band-Aids around because they're always drawing blood and hurting themselves. It's part of life. Get injured. All kinds of stuff. Being mistreated. Sorrow. Loss. Trouble of all kinds. Presence of sin every day that you live on this earth. On the day of the death of a person who's ready to meet God, there's nothing but good things that await him in the future. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. The innocent child that lives in this world, he's going to face all of these things. The person who's born of God is going to face all of these things in this world. But when he dies, that's over. They want to make death a big deal because it saves you from sin. No, death saves you from it's the escape out of here. I was thinking of that song today while I was thinking about all this. You know, there's a song that says, this house of clay is but a prison. Bars of bone hold my soul.
Yep.
But
doors of clay are going to burst wide open when the Father sets my spirit free.
See? So the death of a person who's ready to meet God, there's nothing but happiness in the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that? The earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. I have another place to live. This world is not my home. And this body is just my temporary home. It's a tabernacle. This earthly house of this tabernacle. That's a tent. Temporary home. This is not a house built with rocks and permanent things. It's just flesh. Somebody said a long time ago, it's just a little bit of dust and a whole bunch of water.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it amounts to. They used to say that all the ingredients in your body was worth about $1.98. Philippians 1:23, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's what I was quoting a while ago. Paul said that. What's waiting for a person who's ready to meet God and they die here? What's waiting for them? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. No sorrow or crying or pain. I mean, think about that just a minute. Just a second. Just let that soak into your mind. Nope. I'll bet you half of you took some kind of pain pill today. Okay. I'll bet you hurt something today. I'll bet you stumped your toe today. There you go. See what I mean? No pain, no sorrow. This thing of sorrow, like we feel now, just not going to be there. Not going to feel that anymore. Think about that. No more separation. No hunger or misery of any kind. No pain and no more dying. And never to be in the presence of sin again. This world grieves my soul. It vexes my soul. It does anybody that's righteous in this wicked world. That's what I think about when somebody goes on. I think they're out of this.
Yes. Amen.
They don't care about Trump or Biden or the Democrats or Republicans or a stimulus check or anything else. Or the economy or the Middle East or nothing. They don't care about none of that. Heaven don't talk about that stuff.
That's right. Yes.
Death is freedom from the bondage of the flesh and earthly things for the child of God. It's like I just quoted the verse out of that song. You know, this body is really a prison. Yes. Mm-hmm. Death's the only way out of it. It's eternal rest for the child of God. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Don't you know that was good words? Don't you know John was happy to write that? John, write. Blessed are they which die. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Well, when somebody dies in the Lord, we ought to rejoice.
Yes, sir.
They won the victory.
Amen.
The devil didn't get them.
Amen.
They finished the course.
Yes, sir.
They fought a good fight.
Amen.
We ought to consider the end of their conversation. That's what that means. Paul, that's what Paul said. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Now I'm ready. Ready to be offered. For the child of God, it's to be in the very presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I read this a while ago, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For the one who's neglected his soul, it's the final separation from God forever. Death should not be such a horrible thing to us unless we are not right with God. Now, you know, Brother Kenny is going to grieve and he's going to be lonely. And his heart's going to hurt. And he's going to miss her. You better believe it.
Yeah.
But there's a God in heaven.
Yes.
And this is true.
Yes, sir.
And if it's not, then we might as well just shut everything down and quit. Just go home and watch TV like everybody else does and wait to die.
Yeah.
But it's true. And if it's true, then you ought to step up.
Yes.
I think that's what you'll see him do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because
I believe he knows that she's not dead. And that there's just a separation here for a little time.
Yeah.
And he's going to shortly be going the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Lord took her. That's the way it is. We've got to look at it that way.
Yes, sir.
If you die before I do, I've got to look at it that way. God did this. You know, I didn't.
Right.
Nobody else did. No matter how it happens, no matter what happens. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Terrible way to go for those who are not ready to meet God. It's just extreme difference. For those who are ready, it's wonderful joy. Those who are not, Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Make sure, let me tell you something tonight. You better listen to me. Make sure that you're not playing games with your soul and with God. Make sure that you possess something real in your soul.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Like Brother Melby, I mention it often, but will it do when you are dying?
Yeah.
You better make sure that what you have will do when you are dying. Or it'll do when somebody else is dying.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have it, then seek the Lord with all your heart. Stop playing games. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Stop playing games and avoiding the issue. God, let me read these four short verses here. Five, I'm sorry. And then we'll be done. Psalm 116. It's one of my favorite psalms. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What are the benefits that he renders toward us? What do you count as the benefits? Every time he works some miracle in your life, meets some need, is that what you really get excited about? Or do you really get excited more about what we've been talking about tonight? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Who is more blessed and confident than the real Christian who trusts in God?
Right.
Who can face death with grace and strength that God gives, just like the song they sang a while ago. The centuries and the millennia have proven it over and over, thousands of times over, that God is sufficient. The Romans, a lot of the Romans were saved because they said the Christians die so well. They died well. They could face death. The person who sits around and says, oh, you can say that now because you ain't there. You don't have nothing in your soul. You need to get a hold of something real. This is not something that we can't understand, don't know a thing about until we get there. That is not true.
No, sir.
The same God who comforts, strengthens, enlightens your soul when death ain't near is the same God who takes care of you when you get to that place.
That's right. Yep.
And if he won't do it for you on the good road, I mean in a green tree, then he ain't going to do it.
Right.
In the dry. If you can't take the footman, the horsemen ain't, what are you going to do when they come?
Yeah.
I will take the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. Been talking a lot to somebody about this stuff, and I told them the other day, you know, you got to have a right attitude about this. Do you think you love your loved one more than God does?
No.
Do you think you need them more than God does? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants us with Him more than we want to be with Him.
Yes, that's right.
So we have a loved one whose death is about to take. And most of Christianity, most Baptists and Pentecostals and everybody else do the same exact thing. They pray with all of their might to hang on to them. They're fighting with God. God's calling them and they're saying, no! Let us have them. They said about Helen, you know, Frances went over to her when she had been having all kinds of shaking and spells, and she calmed down for a minute. And Frances told her, she said, it's all right. You can go. And said she just died. People hang on. You know, there's a fight going on there. You know, the old timers who believed in God, they didn't do it that way. They faced death as a reality, and when it came and its certainty was there, they commended them to the Lord. The Lord took them. And God's God. And you trust Him. He's sovereign. Life and death are in His hands, not ours. But they've changed that around where life and death are in the power of the tongue. That ain't even what it means at all. But they think that you can command, say, live, and they'll live. I guess you could say, die, and they'd die too. Wonder about that. Do they flip that around and do that too? I'm just saying we ought to be submissive to God's will. I mean, if we're submitted to God in all things in life, then why can't we be submitted to God when it comes to this too? I believe you will be. If you've really, really been submitted to God in your heart and mind as you live, I think when it comes to that, I think you will be too. I really do. I just believe that's the way it is. It's truth. And truth don't change. And truth is solid ground to stand on too. I'm not telling you what I think. I told you what God says. Now that's what God says. Day of death is better than the day of birth. The end's better than the beginning. And if we don't see it that way, we ain't got it right. We better get it right. We better start looking at things the way God looks at it. Better start agreeing with God. And it'll be all right.
Yes, sir. Yes, it will.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. He'll make a way for us.
Yes.
There's a thing we've been reading in Revelation, and everything I read in the Bible anymore is just like, it's just so much more than I ever seen before. I don't know why. But the churches. We got to the church of Philadelphia, and there's churches in there, boy, they know all the doctrine, and they can pick out the phonies, and but he said, I have somewhat against you. And he against every one of them down to Philadelphia. And they were just a few. They didn't have a name. They didn't have much. They were poor. They were persecuted. But he said, just hang on. Hold fast to that which you have.
No man take that crown.
Yeah. And I can't quote exactly what it said, but he commended them. to just hang on, just wait. And he was going to show everybody how much he loved them. Those are types of churches. You know, I've heard all through the years that those are different periods of time in the church age. Nah. Those are just the different types of churches and the different stages of development or death.
Yes.
That's what they are.
Yes.
That's what it is. Anyway, I'm done. Just pray for one another. Pray for Brother Kenny and this and his kids and all this time. It's a hard thing. It's a shock. That's what somebody said last night. He was just in shock. Well, I reckon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're holding somebody's hand 1 minute and the next minute they're gone.
Yeah.
It just, there's something about us that it just takes some time to you know, cope with that.
Yeah.
Just to accept it and believe it.
Right.
It is. Every time it happens, it's just like this can't be so.
Yeah.
And every time it happens, we all look at each other and say, you know, it could be us.
Yes.
Yep. And we go on a little bit and get right back done just like we was. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the more seriously you ought to take death.
Yes, sir.
And the effect that it ought to have is it ought to change the way you treat and interact with other people now.
Yes, sir.
Every day.
Yes, sir.
It ought to soften your words, soften your heart. It ought to endear everybody and everything to you more.
Yeah.
Because knowing that the time is short. At the very best. I've had so many times that I've regretted because I didn't realize that was the last time I was going to talk to him.
Yes, for sure.
Just somehow it just didn't sink in, didn't know, or, you know, wish I could have just said something.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your promises and the truth that we can anchor our soul to. You removed the fear of death that we were all of our lives in bondage to through fear. Lord, I pray you'd help us to all have that kind of victory and live in that kind of victory. And realizing what death does, it does separate us and it does change life here for the rest of us who are left. But if we keep our eyes on eternity, we realize that death is abolished, and it's going to be as if it never happened one day, one time. There's a point out there somewhere when time is finished and done, when it'll be as if death never happened. And all the people we knew and loved are going to, that are right with you, are going to be together forever with all this behind us. No more sorrow or tears or pain or crying or sickness. And it's not just a pipe dream, it's reality. And I pray you'd help us to live like it is in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.